Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Final Furlong podcast is proudly brought to you by Tote. Think you can't get better value? Think again. 10% bigger dividends when you bet direct with Tote Plus at tote.co.uk.
And remember that that is only with tote.co.uk. The whirlpool will be in full effect for Royal Ascot by this stage. Hopefully we're in plenty of gravy as we preview day four in the company of the godfather that is Rory De Largie.
Hello.
Welcome back, sir. It's literally been minutes since we last spoke. Rory may have had some tech issues. This doesn't affect you at all in the real world. For Lucy and I and for poor Rory, it's just been like, welcome back to Tech Talk on the Final Furlong podcast. Lucy Russell-Hughes, who has been an absolute star so far and has crushed it in terms of winners, is back for more on the Final Furlong podcast. Welcome back, Lucy.
Hello. Yes, it's good to be back.
And it's good that you're in top form as we preview day four. We've already talked about the weather and the possible effects that that could have, but let's just go with what we've got. For now, it's good ground. And the market for the Albany Stakes sees FLOTUS for Simon and Ed Crisford with Frankie Dettori up on board. A daughter of Star Spangled Banner as your 4-1 favourite. Prettiest for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore is 5-1. Hallo You for Rafe Beckett and Tom Marquand is 6s. And Catch It for George Bolley, who really just continues to throw in the fantastic runners as also fantastic performances, including...
Cachet.
I have not had enough coffee today. Lucy Russell-Hughes, who wins this race?
As you say, George Bowie's got a really strong hand in this race. But FLOTUS is heading towards the top of the market, and she was a really smart winner on debut at Goodwood. So I can see exactly why all the money is for her. And she hails from a really strong yard with Simon and Ned Crisford during the training. Frankie Dettori is set to take the ride on her. I just question her form from that race at Goodwood. Not too many of the horses have come out looking like, not many of them have produced any wins so far. So there was just a small question mark on arguably what she beat that day, but she did win really, really well. The filly I like in this race is a George Bowie filly. It's Cachet, as you just mentioned. He was...
Catch It, as some would call her. Jesus.
Catch It. Wasn't he a good national hurdle horse?
He was. He was a champion hurdle winner. Bolted up in the Triumph hurdle and then won a champion hurdle. Poor old Catch It. Anyway.
Cachet, she was so professional on debut. She won by a really good margin, and Nicola Curry's set to take the ride again. I just thought she was really professional on debut, and she was very relaxed in the prelims as well. I think she's the sort of filly that will handle all the buzz and all the occasion at Royal Ascot really well. She's part of the first crop of Acclaim who... he has his first two-year-olds on the track this season. So there's a small question mark there. We haven't seen, obviously, too many of his progeny, but so far what she's shown us, I think, is really something to take. I think she's my selection for the race. The old George Bowie filly, Oscula, who obviously won the Woodcut at Epsom, is another really smart filly with a lot of experience under her belt. To beat the boys and to beat the Colts on that day in the Woodcut, I thought she was really smart and great that Mark Crean gets to keep the ride on her. And yeah, there's a lot of them you can make a case for, but I will side with Cache, just based on what she's shown us so far. Obviously, Ryan Moore will be riding prettiest for Aidan O'Brien. She's up towards the head of the market as well. She's built like a real sprinter. When she won on debut, she looks like she's really muscly, and she looks like she's got all the speed in the world. Obviously, when she won on debut at Navan, that was 5.5 furlongs. I thought obviously the traffic at Navan's very up and down, and she very helter-skelter. I just thought a question mark whether the track at Ascot would suit her possibly over the 6 furlongs in the Albany. That would be my only question mark. There's another one at a bigger price that I thought was quite interesting. Sunstrike, she's going to take her chance in this race. She might be an interesting one to side with each way from another really powerful yard of John and Thady Gosden. Oshie Murphy set to take the ride, really powerful connections. She was 4th on debut at Wolverhampton, but then she, on her second run this year, she won at Kempton, and she's had a lot of, well, she's come on a lot from her debut run, and her win at Kempton I thought was really impressive. Both of her runs, she's been quite slowly away, but she has a really big long stride, and she's related to some very good siblings. Is what I thought as well. So plenty of winners have come from the family, including listed winners for Simon Crisford. And I just thought her win at Kempton was much progressed from what she showed us on debut. So Sunstrike each way, but my selection will be Cache for George Bowie and Nicola Curry.
Okay, so Cache is the main selection, but Sunstrike at a 14-1, maybe 16s if you really shop around right now, daughter of Bobby's Kitten. I talked about Prettiest so much that it would be very contradictory not to then go, she's my bet in the race. First daughter of Alice Springs, first crop from Alice Springs, but also crucially by Dubawi. And I just thought she showed an awful lot of professionalism first time out. I know what, completely get where Lucy's coming from in terms of the way Navan, how she ran there, that it might make you concerned that Ascot may not suit her. But I think the fact that she beat horses that had experience and beat them well just suggests that she could be a little bit special. But then again, Rory, we've been down this road before, including last year, where a lot of Aidan O'Brien juveniles went to Royal Ascot with a lot of talk behind them, but only one came out as a successor, and that was the Mighty Battleground, who may very well have won the St. James's Palace Stakes by the time we talked about this race. Who is your idea of the winner of the Albany?
Well, you know me and the two-year-old races at Ascot. I try not to get too carried away with them. But this looks a pretty decent contest. There are plenty you want to keep on side. Prettiest looked a good prospect when she won at Navan, and the bare form probably isn't as good as one or two of these, but you'd expect her to improve more than most from first run to second. That'll be my slight concern with the with Cache. She looked very professional on debut, and that's a good performance. I'm not sure I would expect a George Bowie filly to improve a big chunk from first to second run, especially when they do the job so well first time. But she's still competitive, but with nominal improvement. And he's also got Beautiful Sunshine in there. I'd imagine she's not likely to run unless the ground comes up soft. She was a winner on the heavy ground at Sandown last time out in a good time for the conditions. But Connections also have, or the owners also have, Hello You for Rafe Beckett. I was very impressed with her at Wolverhampton. Now, obviously, it's a very different track, but I don't think the track would be much of a concern for her. And what I particularly liked about her run at Wolverhampton was that I thought there was a lot of depth to that race. And often we're seeing a fillies win first time up. And the question is, you know, what are they beating? And that's the question with Floaters, who's been the most impressive visually of these so far. Floaters looked very good winning at Goobie, despite the fact that she seemed quite green and she was learning about the job through the race. You know, you looked at that race and thought, well, this is going to improve a lot from that and could be top class. The worry with her, of course, is the fact that that several horses have come out from that good race and haven't done an awful lot for the form. But I think Flotus is clearly the best of those. But the race that Hello You won at Wolverhampton, I thought that was a race in which it threw up plenty of winners. Thus far, it's only thrown up one in Sunstrike, but there have been much improved performances from a couple in behind. The likes of Global Romance and River Pride have won very well in defeat. Ranin, who was a big outsider that day, has shown improved form in defeat again since. The only one that's come out of the Wolverhampton race that's disappointed was Jinan, who was just a little keen. I think she just went the wrong way from that debut performance. But Hello You was enormously impressive in the way she travelled through that race and how she stormed clear, despite the fact that it wasn't one of those races where they went hell for leather and she was coming past fillies who were stopping. I thought she just looked very, very classy in the way she did that. Clearly questions as to how she will cope with a track like Ascot, especially if the rain comes. But I'll stick with her on the basis that I was particularly impressed with the ability that she showed in that Wolverhampton debut. And that's really all you have to go on this race.
Okay, so Hello You for Rory. A wide open race. And we're all going for different horses. Let's see how it settles for the King Edward VII Stakes. Mouth words have failed me, so clearly I need more coffee. Dear God. So Lemerac is heading the betting, but Al Nakar is closing all the time and, of course, beat Adair last time out, who's come out in fairly frank the form by winning the Derby. Lucy, you can start. We've got a Derby disappointment in here and gear up as well. Title, I think, is a pretty interesting horse too for Roger Varian with David Egan on board, but much more interested in who you like here.
The horse I like most would be Alan Kerr, based on that classic trial win. Obviously, as you say, beat Adair, and he was really tough and tenacious. He was a big price that day. I think he was around about 25-1. Mm. He's a really big horse, and he was slowly away on debut last season as a two-year-old. He still managed to win, and then he was second on his second start as a two-year-old, and that was on rain-softened ground at Haydock. So that run, I think, can be ignored, really. His win at Sandown, obviously, was a good ground in the classic trial, so the good ground at Ascot wouldn't be a problem. And I think, yeah, the day that he won that classic trial, Adair, who was obviously back in second, he was really keen that day, and obviously he's gone on to win the Derby since. So Alan Carr, he's German bred, so we haven't got that much clues on sort of pedigree wise, but I think he was really smart at Sandown, and I think he'll be hard to beat. And he was up there with all the pace in the classic trial as well, so he's not short of any pace. Obviously, he'll be stepping up in trip to a mile and a half, but I shouldn't think that'd be a problem. William Haggis tends to be very patient with his horses. Obviously, we saw recently he withdrew Mahathir on the day of the Derby, so he's certainly not one to run a horse or rush a horse for any means. So Alan Carr is my selection. It's a very interesting race. Perhaps Sir Lamorack is at the head of the market, but has a few other entries, obviously, he has a few other entries in the week for Aidan O'Brien. So I thought there was another one quite interesting further down in the betting to mention, who was Tasman Bay for Sir Mark Todd. So obviously connections, not familiar with Royal Ascot's success, but I don't think that should take anything away from the horse's ability. He's had some really good runs this season. He's came up against Hurricane Lane and John Leap on his recent starts, his last two starts. And then he was a winner first time out this season. That was on the weather at Newcastle. I just really like his attitude. I think the step up to a mile and a half will really suit him. He's got a really big long stride. He travels really well in his races. I think he's quite versatile. He can sort of make the running or sit behind. And I just think that form in the book is really good form. And he's by Le Havre, who's a stallion who's got plenty of bone about him. And likewise, Tasman Bay's got a lot of bone about him as well, and I think he's a really interesting one at the prices. I'm not particularly keen on Title. I just thought his run style, he's got quite a high head carriage. Last time out, he did beat a filly that I really like. He beat Seeker Apps at Yarmouth. But she's actually got an entry in the Ribblesdale. So that could be quite an interesting angle. He looks quite hard to win with, in my opinion, title. So I think he's opposable. And as you say, Gear Up has been thrown into some really high grades this season. He's obviously ran in the Dante, and then he ran in the Derby as well. So he's been thrown into Group 1 company this season already, his first two starts. And he's a typical Mark Johnson horse. You wouldn't be surprised if he bounced out and made all the running in the King Edward Stakes in this race. But I do really like the credentials of Alan Carr for William Haggis.
I'm with you. I think Alan Carr is the one who's going to take all the beating. I do like Solamarac a lot. I'm just slightly concerned, as Rory said earlier in the previous podcast, that he's been off the track for 68 days by the time this race comes along, and he did miss a Derby trial, as well as the Derby itself. So, slight concern. Aidan O'Brien can get his horses fit for Royal Ascot, no problem. But it's just in the back of my mind, and I really like Alan Carr. I thought...
I didn't mention much about him, did I? But his win last time out, which at Leopardstown, was much better than his win at Dundalk. That wasn't very pretty. So he's learnt a lot, hasn't he?
He has, to be fair. He's a big old Camelot out of a Giants Causeway mare, and I think it's just taken a while for them to get the full handle on him. But that being said, Roy DeLargy, what about you?
I'm largely in agreement here. I think based on how the Sandown form is working out, Alan Kerr should be a slightly shorter price than he is. Certainly should be clear favourite.
Let's go!
He's beaten the Derby winner when unfancied on his return. Given his pedigree, he's not guaranteed to stay the extra mile and a half the extra distance on pedigree. But it's a good German family, and more often than not, there's stamina and abundance there. He's certainly bred to excel on softish ground, so the rain that's due Thursday/Friday will suit him better than it will suit most. I was slightly disappointed. I thought it was very good form, the Sandown Classic Trial, when I saw it first. The first three came a long way clear of the favourite Lone Eagle, who had very good form as a two-year-old. Bellocchio was fancied at a biggish price that day and was another four lengths back at fifth. I thought Schollerman had looked an interesting horse prior to that. Etonian was a horse that Richard Hannon thought was
classic winner.
A horse who had a chance in classic.
Yeah.
So looking behind that, Recovery Run, who'd been second in the Zetland Stakes before that, you know what a good race the Zetland is. And I was a little bit...
That's an in-joke dig at me.
Wee bit disappointed when Yabir turned up at Chester and ran a stinker on his next start. Although essentially he just looked a bit... he looked a really hard ride. And they haven't gelded since. I'm not sure when he was gelded, actually, Yabir. But I thought he looked perfectly genuine at Sandown and then an absolute pig at Chester. And it made me think a little bit about the form. But of course, it's now been well frightened. Yabir bounced back on his next start to be second to Lone Eagle in the Cocked Hat Stakes at Goodwood.
They gelded him then.
Yeah. And you've had wins for Sir Lucan and Irish Legend back in the field since. A better run from Recovery Run last time. It's now looking like the really strong form it did at the time. And with that in mind, Alan Kerr really should be a shorter price for this. He's a blindingly obvious one. I think he does go off a shorter price, particularly if the rain comes. I sort of expected him to be something like a 7-4 shot for this race.
So did I.
And I'd have hummed and hawed about whether I wanted to back him at that kind of price. But at 11-4, it's hard seeing past him. And a few of these won't run. Dancing King's already declared.
Wordsworth out.
Earlier in the week, you've been talking about who else there? Titles engaged in the three-year-old handicap the previous day.
True.
So he may go for that. So it's a tricky one. I will also agree with Lucy about Tasman Bay. I don't think this is his race, to be honest, but I like him a lot. I think he's a horse with untapped potential. down the line. He's a horse who should stay a mile and a half, maybe even further. He might even be a ledger horse, Tasman Bay. But yeah, I like the way he went about it. I was more impressed with him than John Leaper at Newmarket, to be perfectly honest. That wasn't a popular opinion at the time. But I thought, you know, he's, you know, I didn't think that was a tremendously good race, but I thought both the front two were better, a fair bit better than the others in the race. Tasman Bay, I thought, in an even more strongly run race, would have produced a better performance. So hopefully, with something else able to cut out the running for him, he can step forward again. But as I said, maybe this isn't his race, but there will be more to come from him. And of course, he's proven with plenty of dig in the ground as well. So if there was rain, that would bring the stamina that I think is there. Obviously, he's unproven beyond 10 furlongs, but he looks like he will stay further. He's got a big, powerful stride. And I think the further he goes, the better he gets. So he's one to bear in mind.
33s into 20s he is. But essentially, the three of us are all agreeing on Alan Kerr, which I absolutely love. Right, the Royal Ascot winner last year in Campanelle comes back for Wesley Ward. Frank Gittitori was on board last year. He's on board again. And no surprises that she heads the betting for the Commonwealth Cup. But the horse that I'll just say straight out that I'm very interested in, based on how bullish Oisin Murphy was, is Dragon Symbol. So go from there. Lucy, what do you think of the Commonwealth?
You can see why Oisin Murphy is very bullish about Dragon Symbol. He's just really burst onto the scene, especially this season, obviously finishing second in the Sandy Lane Stakes, and that was such a close race between him and Rohan. He's done nothing wrong this season. He's just improved, and he's gone from sort of classified novice company to finishing second in the Group 2 Sandy Lane. So very, very progressive and sort of very expected of an Archie Watson sprinter. I think Campanelli obviously heads the market. We haven't seen her since her run at Keeneland at the end of last season. That was over a mile, and that was her last run as a two-year-old. Obviously, Wesley Ward would have her ready for this race. Absolutely no doubt about that. Just we haven't seen her. I'm going to side with something that I have seen. A couple of the Clive Cox's runners are of interest. Supremacy is going to have to bounce back from his run at Ascot already this season when he took part, well, he's favourite actually for the Pavilion Stakes Group 3 over course and distance. He's going to have to bounce back because he looked very laboured that day, finished last. Diligent Harry is the other horse Clive Cox is running, and he is my selection. People might think I'm mad, but I think Clive Cox has spoken so highly of this horse, and he thinks he's could be a next sort of star in his stable. And I think to pitch him in at this level, Group 1 level, after only running on your weather, I think is a very, very, it's a very brave shout, in all honesty. But he's a horse who's got so much potential. He's, he won last time out at Lingfield on the all-weather. That was in April. So he hasn't had too much racing up until, well, he'll be going to it fairly fresh, having not run since the beginning of April. He had to be tough that day. Adam Kirby did have to get quite hard on him to win that race. But I think he's got so much untapped potential, very unexposed. He's just a very exciting horse, and he's spoken very highly of him at home. Clive, he just likes everything about this horse. He's very powerful as well. So Diligent Harry, my selection, but it's an interesting race. Campanelli, she deserves to be favourite, but I won't side with her because I haven't seen her. Dragon Symbol for Archie Watson, Oisin Murphy, has done nothing wrong, but he's had a lot of racing. Supremacy is going to have to bounce back. I just really like Diligent Harry and his credentials. I think he could be the next star to be unearthed from the Clive Cox stable, in my opinion.
And Clive Cox, of course, won this race last year. 11-1 is the current price about Diligent Harry. Again, it would be remiss of me not to mention a horse that we've talked about numerous times. And the miling angle has been completely abandoned. Out and out sprinter. They're just going to go sprinting from now on. Yes, she ran well over a mile last year in the Breeders' Cup, but sprinting all the way from Miss Amulet, who is currently 25s, which might be a bit too big. And this might be a dutching race. I think I might have to back her at 25s. But Rory De Largie, the Commonwealth Cup is going to go to...
Sueza.
Come on.
I think she's the best horse in the race, but we're slightly blindsided by the fact that she's coming from France, which is unbeaten in four starts for a very good stable. We've been laying her out for this race. Her owner likes nothing more than a nice Group 1 winner at Ascot, George Strawbridge. Sueza, she's won the right races for that at this in France this season, the Pre-Sigi and the Pre-Texanita. I remember this time last year being very keen on Wooded in this race. He'd come the same sort of route. And he ended up missing the meeting entirely and peeing on my chips, unfortunately. But anyway, he went on and won the Abaya at the end of the season. I don't think this is a great race. I think there are a lot of horses who look like they might be very good, who I'm not sure are quite going to make it. Campanella has not had her prep run as expected. She, of course, was brilliant very early on. And she was, the mile of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Felice Turf, probably too far for her, but 2-year-olds often get away with the turning mile at the end of the season. I'd have given her a chance if she'd had her prep, but coming here straight after the Keeneland run is a little bit off-putting to me. I loved Supremacy last year. I was all over him when he won the Richmond Stakes at Goodwood, because I loved the way he won his maiden at Windsor, but he hasn't really, I wouldn't say he hasn't really gone on from that. He obviously finished his 2-year-old season in tremendous style in the Middle Park, but his run in the Pavilion was bitterly disappointing given that there was no suggestion that he needed that run. He was sent off odds on, and he just looked like he hadn't trained on, to be perfectly honest. Which is a pity, but there you go. But interestingly, Adam Kirby sticks by him rather than he could have switched to Diligent Harry, but he stays with Supremacy. You can read into that what you will. Off the others, I mean, there are plenty of theoretical chances, but again, Miss Amulet was disappointing first time out in the Irish 1,000 Guineas. That was a tough start for her on her seasonal reappearance, as she might come on from a fair degree.
Especially
she does need to if she'd finished, mid-div that day, I'd have given her a reasonable chance. It just didn't show enough for me. Although what you can say is that I think it was accepted fairly quickly in the race that she wasn't going to be competitive. So she didn't have a punishing race and that could pay off. She has popped up at a decent price when she won the Lowther at York. She was 15-2 and you could have backed her at a bigger price than that.
Oh, we remember, Rory. We remember.
We do indeed, yes. So I don't want to be slagging her off, but I think in terms of you've got to judge 3-year-olds by the form they're showing this season. You can't be digging back to 2-year-old form when you need these horses to have trained on. You've got to judge them by what they're doing at the moment. And I think that Sueza she's improved with every run. She won with plenty in hand when winning a Group 3. Last time out, the Texanita. And, her yard is in flying form. The filly she beat into second that day came out and won her next start as well. I just think that's the best form in the race this season. You can go back and look at last year's form and say there are better horses in this race, but I'd rather judge them on recent form. And in recent form, Sueza comes out ahead of Dragon Symbol, who I do respect. I thought he ran very well at Haydock, where heavy ground might not have suited him because he looked very good at Hamilton in his previous start. It wasn't much of a race he won at Hamilton, but he was visually impressive and the time figure for the race was quite good. I thought he struggled a little bit on the ground at Haydock, but showed a really good attitude and only went down by a nose in the end. Whether he was badly drawn out wide on the track or whether the draw actually benefited him, I'm not sure. The first two were the widest two in the race at Haydock, so it may well be that they got a slight bump from that. But yeah, he did look a really good sprinter. I wonder whether he might end up being a 5-furlong horse. I know a lot of his form has come over 6, but he was very impressive drop back and trip at Hamilton.
Yeah,
and although he kept on well at Haydock, he strikes me long term as a kind of horse who will be who will develop more speed, who will be really well suited by dropping back to 5 furlongs. But we'll see what happens with him. I do respect his chance, but I like Swayze slightly better.
Okay, and as you've been talking, the market has changed. Swayze has, with the majority of sports books, flipped with Campanelle or joined her as the either joint favorite or outright favorite for the race, which is fascinating how the market is changing so quickly. So Swayze for Rory. I'll probably side with Miss Amulet. And Lucy, you're going to weigh in with?
Diligent Harry. You're very unexposed, but I think he has a lot of untapped potential. As Rory said, for a group one, we are kind of struggling a little on sort of superstars, but I do think Diligent Harry could be that next sort of horse. Clive Cox has spoke about him in that sort of calibre. So I think I'm going to take a plunge on him. Hector Crouch is a nice, quiet rider, as opposed to Adam, who, well, he's very strong, Adam. He is fantastic. Take nothing away from him. I think Diligent Harry could be quite overlooked, in my opinion.
Okay, an 11-1 currently. But how long will that last for? A couple of fillies, so got a big mention there. The feature race of the day, of course, is all about the fillies, the Coronation Stakes, which we'll talk about next. But first of all, Tull Plus is going to be huge this week because we've mentioned the Whirlpool many times. This is various jurisdictions from around the world, including Hong Kong, Australia, America, France. All of these bettors betting directly into the Tote pool, but you're better informed. So if you're betting with Tote and you're betting directly with Tote, not only do you get the Tote SP guarantee, so if for some reason, and I think with the Whirlpool, they'll definitely be beating SP, but if for some reason they don't, you'll still get the SP guarantee and 10% on top of your winnings. So whoever you're backing, whether it's a win bet, place bet, exacta, place pots, quad pots, scoop six, whatever bet you do, 10% on top of your winnings. That's too big to say no to. It's too big to say no to, but you can only get it. Not by just betting with Tote, any old place. Directly with Tote. Tote.co.uk, Tote.ie, and the official Tote app, which is available as a free download for your smartphone. And don't forget that the deadline for the Tote 10 to follow closes Tuesday midday for Royal Ascot. Some you can play for free. It's €5.50 in Ireland, £5 in the United Kingdom to enter. You can enter as many stables as you want. One entry per person for the free game, and there's some fantastic prizes up for grabs. So, and 100% of the pool going right back into the prize money. And it takes a lot to run that. So that's very generous of Tote. So tote.co.uk to take full advantage of the gravy that will be on offer, particularly with Whirlpool this week at Royal Ascot. It's been a revelation. It's been a game changer, but you have to take advantage of it this week. 10% on top of your winnings. Take it. They're giving you money. Just go take it. Tote.co.uk, Tote.ie, and the official Tote app. Feature races, the Coronation Stakes. Mother Earth, the 1,000 guineas winner and second in the French 1,000 guineas, heads the betting just from Primo Bacchio for Ed Walker. Pretty Gorgeous is in there as well. There was money for Empress Josephine. However, and this is up for debate, whether or not she's going to actually line up. It appears as though they've decided, because at the time when we interviewed Aiden, he wasn't 100% on this, but it looks as though they were going to send both. He was definitely pointing us in the direction of Mother Earth. I will say that. But it now looks as though Empress Josephine may not line up here. We'll have to wait and see. But let's get your thoughts. Lucy, Russell, Hughes, who takes the Coronation?
It's quite a good contest in terms of we've got a lot of fillies coming here with some good form. I really like Pretty Gorgeous. I really hope she can get back to winning ways for Joseph O'Brien if she takes her chance. She was beaten on her seasonal return this season in the Irish 1,000 guineas. She was sort of stuck out on the outside in that race, and she came with a late run, but just wasn't good enough on the day. I'm hoping if she takes her chance in the Coronation Stakes, she's going to have a better draw, and she'll be suited to the round course at Ascot. I do like her credentials. She was the winner of the Bet365 5 mile at Newmarket last season, which was a Group 1 race. She's a really nice big filly. Like I said, I don't think her run last time out was too diminishing. I think she was stuck out on the outside, and perhaps if she's close to the rail or in amongst a bit more of a pocket of a horse, she's going to give a bit more of a better running. And you'd think she'd come on for that run last time out. So I'll side with Pretty Gorgeous to get back to winning ways. As she said, as you say, Empress Josephine doesn't appear to be in the market anymore for this race. So perhaps they're going to wait for, she's not even entered in anything else at Royal Ascot. So it doesn't look as though she'll be lining up this week. But Mother Earth has done nothing wrong. Obviously 1,000 guineas winner and then second in the 1,000 guineas in France. She's just a bit short for me in my opinion. She's done nothing wrong. But she's just a bit short for me to be taking her on. And then we've got Alcohol Free, who I just wish they would, in my opinion, she should be running the race before, should be running the Commonwealth Cup. I think she's running the wrong race in my opinion, but obviously she ran the 1,000 guineas last time out and she was fifth, but I don't think she won the Cheveley Park last season, a two-year-old. There was a lot of speed there, and won the Fred Darling, but she didn't win it. I don't think she won it sort of staying on. She won it by more or less clinging on, in my opinion. I think she should be running in the Commonwealth Cup in the race before. I think there's a lot of fillies in this race at a mile that are far better suited to that trip. But she's obviously got some very good form in the book as well. So take nothing away from Alcohol Free. The Ed Walker filly, Primo Bazio, obviously second behind Mother Earth in the market. She was fourth in the Fred Darling. And she was quite keen that day, but she won last time out at York, and she showed a lot of speed that day and a really good turn of foot. So I can see why people have there's a lot of money come for her. I can see why, because she was pretty much last to first in that race at York. So, and she showed a really good turn of foot to land that listed contest. So she has some really good form in the book. I think Snow Lantern has obviously been talked about by a lot of people based on her breeding. She hasn't really shown us too much. Obviously everybody got excited about her when she won second time out at Newbury, but then she was a bit disappointing at York, and that was actually behind Primo Bazio. She just didn't look to have any sort of turn of foot as much as the winner. So I think she's opposable, and I think that the other filly, if Sir Michael Stout runs Potapova, I think she's opposable as well. She won at Redcar, but it's not really, in my opinion, not really. It's quite a big jump to win a novice at Redcar. She won by a long way that day, but she was 1-5 favourites, so I think she's opposable.
Take that, Redcar. Take that. We're sponsoring a show next week. Do you want to listen? No, they're not. Don't worry. I'll see you're Pretty Gorgeous at sevens and raise you Shale at 20s, who Donica has reluctantly skipped Newmarket with after her disappointment in the Irish 1,000 guineas trial, which I actually thought she ran pretty well in, all things considered. And their form ties in pretty strongly. And that 20s is starting to close. It's starting to go. It's only available with a few firms now. It is available. You can get it and you can get on to reasonable sums. But a lot of firms have cut her to 12s and 14s. So it'll be Shale for me. But I do think Mother Earth will take the world of beating. Roy DeLargy, your assessment of the race.
Yeah, I'm not against Mother Earth at all. She's a very, I think she's probably overpriced at the top price based on what she's achieved. We tend to underrate the French form a little bit, don't we? It's almost like it didn't happen. Whereas I think her win in the Pouliche is probably every bit as good as her guineas win. And you know, again, reminded you that she's perfectly happy on soft ground. She's a solid one. I don't want to be against her. I just wanted to throw another one into the mix as a little bit of a dark one. November won the German guineas last time out, and she won it very easily, showing massively improved form. Now, it may well be that's a little bit of a fluke, although a wise man said there's no such thing as a fluke. She got to the front fairly easily there in the German Guineas, but she galloped on relentlessly and came home 7.5 less clear. So she's got a fairly easy lead, but then she's turned the screw and just went further and further away from her rivals that day, including a couple who'd shown a black type form before that. The German Guineas is not as good as the French Guineas, not as good as the Irish or English Guineas, but to win in a race like that by a margin of 7.5 lengths without a rider going for absolutely everything, I thought was quite impressive. That was on good soft ground. She's by Glenn Eagles, who does better, despite the fact that he wasn't exactly a mudlark himself. His progeny do better on soft ground than they do on top of the ground. So I'd only want to back her if it rained fairly heavily, because I think the rain would count against a few in the race. And I wouldn't be backing her each way either. I'd be having a small stake win only bet on the basis that she might be completely ignored in the betting. People who are not familiar with German form are just assuming that it's a bit of a bull from the blue, which it may well be, but there is also the possibility that she was every bit as good as she looked there.
I like it, Rory. 14s, but generally 11s is the current price about the German 1000 Guineas winner, and the trainer is very selective with the horses he sends over to the UK. Only three.
Yeah, that's the thing with the German trainers. All of them tend not to send horses over for group races unless they've got a decent chance. And I think if you back German runners blind in the UK over the years, you'd be well on top.
Yep, just the three that he has sent over so far. This then brings us to Rory De Larghi's speciality, a big field handicap. So the Sandringham Stakes, over a mile. It's 12-1 the field. Rory De Larghi, solve this puzzle.
Well, you say that maybe I go. Again, you keep coming to me for, you love your handicaps. I love knowing where horses are drawn in handicaps and what the ground is and who's riding them. So here's a random handicap where we have to guess who the runners are and whether it's firm or heavy. I do not in any way like this, I'm afraid to say. The last two results have given you an indication of why it's difficult. You'd have been struggling to pick out the last two winners as runners in this race a week before the race was run. Both trained by Charlie Fellows. You can't even get involved in that just by Charlie Fellows in the Sandringham. He doesn't have a runner this year. So there's not a hell of a lot to go on. And again, we are guessing as to what the ground is going to be. You do want to be with something that stays, and in that respect, you've got to get a picture of the race in your head and see, find something that you think can will settle and see it out, and something that can handle plenty of cut in the ground, which I think there's a fair chance as we get on that this rain will materialise at some stage. Creep Belief's quite interesting for Johnny Mercer, a winner at the Curra on soft ground last time out. £10 higher for that, but you don't get uncompetitive Curra handicaps at the back end of May. So she's quite interesting. And there are others in here who should go forward in what they've done. I'm trying to think what the other one that I vaguely put on a short list. You're taking a bit of a punt here, but Pomelo is quite interesting off a mark of 89. Now, it's slightly, you can argue it's disappointing we haven't seen her so far this season, but she was made a short-priced favourite to win the Prestige Stakes in her second start. Isabella Giles ended up winning that race. But they got the tactics horribly wrong that day. I don't think she would have been good enough to win whatever panned out. But the going turned soft, and Harry Bentley, who rode her, came across the far side rail. But he spent so long coming over that the race was finished by the time he got to the rail. Whereas Isabella Jazz, she came across as well. She came across the halfway. She came across to where the point where the ground was better than sticking on the far rail without wasting half an hour going straight across the course to get to the stand side rail. There's often an advantage at Goodwood to coming to the middle of the track. or middle slash near side. But you can take her too far, and Pomelo took her too far in that race. She then was off for a couple of months. I think they weren't very happy with her after that race. But she won a novice at Wolverhampton in her final start. 89 could underestimate her based on how highly she was regarded last year. She was certainly impressive on her debut at Newbury, which won by 5 lengths. And she's beautifully bred for this. So, as I said, there's 2 ways of reading this. She was a filly who looked to have classic potential last year, and here she is making her reappearance in the middle of June, suggesting that everything hasn't gone to plan. But it's possible that Rafe Beckett simply made the decision she's not going to win a Group 1 early in the season. She might need a little bit of time. She's got a bit of size about her. But her handicap mark is workable. So let's go for the Sandringham to start with and then step her up in class after that. She's number 21 on the list. She's guaranteed to get in. And for a filly who was an odds-on shot for a group race last season and got back on track last time, she might just be the forgotten horse in the race.
I have two. And one is for the jockey who's won this race for the last 2 years, Hayley Turner, Professional Widow. I really want to play Tori Amos right now. 25s. And the other is a horse who has been running in group company and was sent off an even money favourite at Royal Ascot last year behind Campanelle and now drops to handicap company for the first time. And that's more beautiful. If she took her chance. Now, you need to forgive her a lot, but she's beautifully bred. And it's possible that she can just come about. But I favour a Professional Widow. Lucy, for you.
I really like a horse called Far Hope, who's quite unexposed, but her run last time out at Brighton, she did everything wrong and she still managed to win. She was so keen. She just looked really, well, she was on the outside coming down the straight at Brighton. Very keen, very high head carriage, but the way she quickened at the end, she overcame all of that trouble. And I think Marco Gianni did a really good job that day. If he's set to take the ride again, I think he'll do another really good job. And he's set to take £3 off her back. So she comes in on an absolute featherweight. She's really nicely bred. Her mum was a winner at Ascot, not Royal Ascot, but she actually won on the mile course at Ascot. She comes from a really powerful stable, Simon Legg Crisford. As I say, Marco Gianni knows the filly well. I think she overcome a lot of problems on her last win at Brighton. I think she's a filly to side with, and it is a minefield, as you say. Hayley Turner's got a really good record in the race, and she has another good ride this year as well. Not much else I can make a case for. Belief is the favourite, and she won last time out at Thirsk. I just put in my notes that she was very pacey that day and she looked like she was hanging somewhat, even though she did win. To me, she didn't really strike me as to give that much that she's going to go on from that race. It was obviously a class 5 novice, so she will have to improve a lot, and she's favourite. So from the William Haggis stable. But as you say, I do like Create Belief as well. I think the way she won last time out of the Curragh in soft ground as well, she was quite bogged down that day, and she showed a lot of she was really tough, and I think for connections she could be a really good shout as well for Johnny Murta stable. But I will side with Far Hope. I think if the Mitch Allen horse as well, Illicato, takes her chance, she would be interesting based on her win last time out at Goodwood, although it was on quick ground, so well, good to firm ground. And if we have some rain on Friday, that could change. So she showed a lot of ability that day when she won the Conqueror, the listed race at Goodwood. So she's interesting, but I do really like Far Hope. I think she's got a really light weight and she's got a lot of untapped potential from a very powerful yard.
And she is widely available at 14-1 as we record on Monday. This brings us to the 5:35, the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. Again, a wide open betting heat headed by Adeyeye for Simon and Ed Crisford again, with James Doyle on board, 8-1. Quick Thorn is an 8-1 joint favourite. And then Tritonic with Ryan Moore on board for Alan King over the mile 4 is your 12-1 third, second favourite as things stand. Lucy, who do you like?
Ardy is, I think that's how you pronounce it, Emmett Ardy, is a very smart horse at the top of the market. He was a good winner at Newmarket and he pulled well clear of his rivals that day. So I can see why he's coming for favouritism in this race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was a mile and a half, so no problems in that respect. Quick Thorn is a really likeable horse from the Hugh Morrison stable. I really like how he won first time out this season at Haydock in rain, softened ground. Again, the ground at Haydock is always soft. So I think for him to win first time out in that race, and it's class 3 as well, it wasn't any sort of, well, it was a good race in behind him. And there's some good horses that we haven't actually seen too many of them run since. So we can't question whether the form was any good, because I think only one of them, the runners that day, has run since. So Quick Thorn has a lot going for him, especially if O.C. Murphy rides as well. I think he's a really smart horse. I think Tritonic has a big ask coming from, well, he's been running in over hurdles, and he was obviously the winner of the Adonis last season, well, in the national hunt season at Kempton. So he has a lot to do, in my opinion. But Alan King is no stranger to Royal Ascot winners. Obviously, he enjoyed a Royal Ascot winner last year, but I think he hasn't won on the flat for a long time, Tritonic. So I think it's probably a bit too much of a bigger ask for him. I probably will side with Quick Thorn based on what he's shown us so far. He looked very straightforward when he won the first time out this season, and trained by Hughie Morrison. And Hughie Morrison has trained horses from this family before, so it's a pedigree that he knows well. O'Sheen Murphy is a real positive as well. I think Grand Bazaar is interesting if Frankie Dettori takes the ride for John Gosden. Although I don't think he's going to be much of a danger. I think he was beaten first time out this season by Mark Johnson horse, Zabio Champion. I don't think Grand Bazaar is going to have, he's going to have to reverse that form with Zabio Champion. So I think he's opposable. So yeah, I will side with Quick Thorn based on what he's shown us so far.
I like it. I think he needs a lot of help to get in, but I do like Makram a lot, but he's currently 34 and they're saying there's going to be a max of 19. And the other is Valerian Steel. It's to me, they're both double figure prices. Rory, for you?
I do quite like the Hughie Morrison trained Quick Thorn. I think he's the obvious horse in the race. Again, I'd want to wait the draw on this, and again, concentrating horses drawn high, looking for a little bit of value, and again, get an idea how they're liable to be ridden through the race. Quick Thorn is a fair starting point there. I thought Tritonic would run well as long as he gets a reasonable draw. He's been placed in good flat handicaps of similar marks last season. Bear in mind, he was beaten half a length at this meeting last year off a mark of 95 on soft ground. Over a mile and a quarter, he's shown that he stays further. He's also placed in the Old Ruley Cup, which is a very competitive handicap at Newmarket towards the end of the season. So, and obviously that, you know, defeat by Highland Chief, who was tried in the top group company after that, is a solid performance. And he was, you know, 2.5 lengths clear of the others in that race. So given that he's proven at Ascot, proven on the grind that we're liable to have, I know he was, I wouldn't hold against him that he was a bit disappointing in the Triumph. Cheltenham just not seeming to bring the best out in him. Maybe he's best going right-handed. A lot of his best form has come that way, right? And the race he ran in at Chelmsford last time, dropping by some mile and a quarter, small field, tactical race, didn't really suit him. He raced a little bit too freely. He's only beaten 2 lengths in the end. That will have just helped to get him back in the swing of things on the flat. And I think he's, while he doesn't have any secrets from the handicapper, His mark is fair, and I can see him hitting the frame. I'd be a wee bit disappointed, not a wee bit disappointed, a wee bit surprised if he could win. But they've got Ryan Moore booked for him. And as long as Ryan doesn't hair off to the rail early on, then I think Tritonic has got a respectable place chance at least.
Interesting. And particularly with that 10% bump from Tilt Plus on the place market. The final race, we'll briefly discuss this one then. So this is 10 past six. Again, Ollie and the ITV team, how are you doing it? How are you living? How are you still alive? Just let them have naps between races. Fair play, particularly in the sweltering heat. Get it for Clive Cox for me. I'll just get in there straight away. Second run after a wind up. Very impressive win last time, I thought. Although it was long odds on. Five furlongs. We had Art Power win this race in its inaugural edition last year. Lucy, who wins it this year?
I really like Pop Master for this this race. I think he's got a lot of experience, especially as a two-year-old. He's coming from powerful yard, Ed Walker and Tom Marquand, if he's set to ride. Very powerful connections. He was third behind Rohan first time out this season. I think that was a really good run. We know what Rohan's done since. And then his last two runs, he's come second on both occasions, both over six furlongs. And he's been gelded since, so that's a positive as well. I really like Pop Master. I think he's, as I say, very experienced, gelded. And he's got a lot going for him as well. He won his first two starts as a two-year-old in big fields as well, so he's no stranger to big field sort of races. The favourite, or looking like the favourite, Equality for Charlie Hills. I just thought his win last time out in a very small field, he sort of had it more or less his own way. And he's not really going to get that sort of running in this type of race. It's going to be very fast and furious as well. And I do always like horses dropping back in trip as well. So Pop Master obviously has been running over six furlongs. I think he's been gelded and dropping back to five. I think that's a really interesting play. And at the prices, he's one that I will side with. Get It, as you say, is very interesting for Clive Cox. And he is no stranger to good winners. And he was pitched in at the Windsor Castle last season as a two-year-old. So has some course experience at Ascot. Then Clive actually ran him in the super sprint at Newbury as well. So he's no short speed, this horse, Get It. And so he would be an interesting horse to take from it. And he's come back this season with a win, albeit in a quite small run affair, but he's shown he's back to winning ways. I thought if Michael Appleby sells Warrior Brave, that would be interesting, but he only ran this weekend gone and finished second behind Atalantis Bay at Sandown. So that would be quite a quick turnaround if he was to line up in this sprint. But he's got some really good form in the book. So if he turns up, definitely shouldn't ignore Warrior Brave. And Michael Appleby does really well with these sorts of sprinters. And he's shown obviously a lot of speed over five furlongs. He was a winner at Goodwood on not his last start, but the start before. So second to Atlas Bay last time out at Sandown in the Scurry Stakes. So that was a really good run. He definitely shouldn't be ignored if he turns up. I think Significantly is an interesting one for Carl Burke as well. That horse has actually just been, today I was just watching the Gough sale that they have the night before Royal Ascot, and he was put into that, but I don't think he got sold in the end. But obviously connections think a lot about him. He's been placed on his last two starts, shows a lot of speed over five furlongs as well as six, so he's incredibly versatile. Definitely shouldn't overlook him, but I will side with Pop Master for the Ed Walker and Tom Marquand team.
Currently 16-1, but only with one firm, has been cut to 14s and 11s with the majority. Rory, for you?
Open enough contest. There's a few that I give chances to, but again, I would echo that Warrior Brave is interesting now. I believe it's the intention to run, and I heard one of the Dixon boys reviewing Sandown and saying that he'd be well in of a mark of 93 based on that, and that's definitely true. I thought Atalas Bay was an absolute stone-bonking certainty at the weekend. And of course, he ties in with Winter Park. If Winter Park goes and wins again, then the, you know, the collateral form is working out very well there. I know that I was my mate, Mr. Massey, had a chat with Chris Dixon about not specifically about Warrior Brave, but a horse that Warrior Brave had beaten Goodwood prior to that, Cahor. And she was quite well beaten in her next start. But Dave spoke to Chris, and his view was that Warrior Brave had tons in hand at Goodwood, and just sort of dosed and didn't show it, or the race wasn't really run to show him off to best effect. He still won it, and the handicap only put him up £4 for that because of the small margin. But he showed when getting within three quarters of a length of Atalas Bay at Sandown that he's clearly well handicapped. So he'd be interested if he turns up. Don't know what to expect of him in terms of the ground. But Twilight Sun is doing very well with his three-year-olds. He's a sire worth following. I think a lot of people thought he would do well last year, but after a couple of promising runs from his offspring early last year, it took him a while to really click after that. But the offspring are progressing very well. They're essentially three-year-olds rather than two-year-olds. And Warrior Brave is showing that by going from strength to strength this season. So he'd be almost top of the list there. I think he deserves to be favourite, really, based on that. Off the others, I wouldn't be... Potmaster doesn't look entirely straightforward, but Gelding probably helps him, and he's got the talent to win races off a mark of 90. I thought at bigger prices, and I'd want bigger than's currently available at the moment, I think you're getting about 16s, show along for Tim Easterby, could run well at a big price. Obviously, Tim won it last year. Show along was an impressive winner in soft ground at Chester two starts back, and then ran respectably, more than respectably, to be a close fifth at York, and next time a much faster ground. But I think he wants it softer, and if it did come out soft in the day, he could outrun us.
Okay, best bets for the day four Friday of Royal Ascot, Lucy.
Diligent Harry in the Commonwealth Cup. If you're not keen to take him on, I would definitely encourage each way.
Rory.
I'm afraid I also have to go in the Commonwealth Cup with Swayze.
Well, that gives us an exacta.
Indeed, it will be a pretty hefty one as well.
For me, it's Shale. I think she's too big a price. She can bounce back. I'm keeping the faith with her. Lucy, an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, and looking forward to your company again. I think it might be Thursday week. Whether or not you knew that is another question, but anyway, it'll be very soon, and looking forward to talking to you about racing again very, very soon. Enjoy working for William Hill Radio, and stay sane for the week, and just enjoy it. And hopefully, and I'm pretty sure that there will be a lot of Lucy Russell Hughes profit by the end of Royal Ascot, particularly on day four. So thank you very much again for your company.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoy the week, everybody.
Absolutely. Rory DeLargy, you hero, sir. Well done.
Thank you very much. My pleasure as always.
And you can read Rory DeLargy's content in The Sporting Life, and of course Irish Field as well. That is it for day four for Friday. Enjoy it. Look forward to it. If you're listening to this early in the week, if you're listening to this the night before, hopefully there's plenty of gravy to be made. Day five preview on the way, available on all podcast apps and some rubbish ones as well. From all of us, Lucy, Rory, and me, thanks for listening. Take care. God bless.
The Final Furlong Podcast is proudly brought to you by Tote. Think you can't get better value? Think again. 10% bigger dividends when you bet direct with Tote Plus at tote.co.uk.